Hello and welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Rima Katz. Today, we're going to discuss one of my favorite topics, digital wallets. We've seen adoption accelerate over the past couple of years, and this particular form of payment continues to grow in popularity. Joining me today is Damani Abernathy and Christopher Miller, lead analysts of emerging payments at Javelin Strategy and Research. And they're going to delve into the growing popularity of digital wallets, what usage looks like, as well as the security risks associated with them. Damani and Chris, it's great to have you both here. To start, Damani, what's influenced the growth of digital wallets as a payment method?
Yeah, speaking from a U.S. perspective, I don't believe there was a singular event, but rather it seems there was a trifecta of sorts that aided in its surge, that being EMV, COVID-19, and millennials, including those generations after. I do recognize that the weights of the aforementioned aren't equal, but each played their respective part. EMV was the primer that forced the shift in tendering behavior. And then we moved from swiping to inserting and tapping, if you were into that sort of thing. But it was the cost and complexity of integrating EMV that caused really many merchants to seek alternative acceptance methods that aided in digital wallet normalization, if you will. You had MCX's QR code solution, which routed outside networks, but was only extended to so many merchants, large merchants, but limited scale. And Loop Pay's MST feature, which also was an impressive solution, but didn't require merchants to change equipment as it ran on magnetic swipe technology. However, it was too limited in its reach, especially after Samsung purchased the proprietary technology. So with EMV and P2PE becoming standard practice, the enhanced security at the point of sale moved bad actors to easier pickings, primarily non-present environments. And e-commerce was ramping, but the cost of doing business online, it really had its difficulties. Approval percentages tended to be lower, and battling fraud, both targeted and friendly, was more or less becoming its own department. Digital wallets on their own, while sleek, secure, and efficient, was growing really at a snail's pace, about 2% year over year from its inception. And there were many reasons why. Availability being one, confusion over which merchants accepted it caused many who had adopted the technology to be reluctant to paying in that manner. Consumer adoption was another. Unless you were an early adopter, the discomfort and reluctance one felt after succumbing to failure after failure when attempting to tap was very real and prevalent. What direction to hold your phone, how close it needs to be, and where on the device to position for connection to be made, it just wasn't obvious. And then you had conditioning. The ingrained default behavior of pulling out one's card to initiate payment, it was really hard to shift away from. We're car holders, and we've been doing this for decades. So that adage about old dogs and new tricks, right? Swiping was second nature. And so inserting was foreign, and tap to pay, well, if I continue with that, it was alien. Interestingly, banks began issuing contactless cards, which made the shift to digital wallets even more difficult. So changing behavior at the point of sale required more. It was really the COVID pandemic that initiated the widespread disruption that was sure to change pretty much everything. The fear of catching the virus impacted our daily lives significantly. You had contactless was more or less becoming the new normal, and everything that supported it was the bee's knees. Cash at the point of sale was essentially non-existent, and seemingly forgotten coin shortage forced merchants to turn to digital means. You had contact EMV transactions were almost just as difficult to negotiate with physical coverings on payment devices, and merchants wanted to attract customers essentially by finding ways to enable contactless environments, whether in-store, via delivery, or now in the booming e-commerce channel. There was a stat, 1 in 4 transactions at the point of sale during this period were digital wallet, and e-commerce transactions really boomed, primarily due to QR code, in-app solutions, and home tethering. You know, although people were forced to isolate, their needs didn't really lessen. And we saw a near 20% rise in dollars processed online from 2019 to 2020. So digital wallets hadn't actually overtaken card or ACH for that matter. However, it was finally trending up aggressively. In fact, just a couple points shy of about 10% in the year. From the merchant's perspective, digital wallets sped up the checkout experience, reduced card abandonment, and more or less assured your transaction with enhanced levels of security that nearly eliminated the chance of fraud. I stated it earlier, but talk about a trifecta. The result essentially has some checkout experiences taking on what I like to call the NASCAR effect. Yeah, digital wallet banners essentially littering checkout pages because as a merchant, you want to capture every customer and meet their payment preference. And even the card networks recognize this as well. So you had a little race for market share. Yeah, device wallets, network wallets, marketplace wallets, store wallets, the list goes on. But it was truly the generational population that is now growing the popularity of transacting that way that merchants are now more or less acquiescing.
Do we see this as a one-way ramp? Right. You've mentioned a lot of reasons why adoption has grown. Just to put a little pin in that balloon. One thing that we have seen is a reemergence in some cases of cash transactions. And at least even in younger generations, the notion of envelope budgeting as a way of controlling expenditures that had to a certain extent grown out of control because of pandemic era habits. So do we see that wallet acceptance amongst consumers as being a persistent, continual growth? Did we see a pandemic bubble that's going to lay back? I think that's an important question as we think about what is the future path for wallets.
No, that's a great question. And quite honestly, they're staying power. And it's really because of the younger generation, the millennials, Gen Xers, and the like. They are the catalyst. And quite honestly, the final catalyst. Putting myself in that role, I once had a level of pride going to collect my winnings at the clubhouse after a good round of golf. But nowadays, depending on who you're playing with, cash is no longer king. And we see this with the impending de-dollarization. But more so now is, do you have Venmo? That's the new, can you hear me now? And fintech startups recognized it. You have Square Cash, you have Apple Cash, you have Google Wallet, Alipay. These technologies have been around for a while. PayPal is a class leader, but the younger generation really pushed the envelope regarding their finances, credit card ownership, and how they want to pay and be paid. And this is forcing wallet ubiquity, at least for peer-to-peer payments, as the easiest means of payment across social mediums. But I do recognize that businesses are recognizing the need to attract these younger buyers, and they're helping to tip the cultural shift of payment options.
I'm curious if this acceleration of digital wallets that we're seeing, if this has also brought on new concerns on merchants level.
Yeah, the security nerd in me says the concerns are light, right? You know, the most polarizing, we're choosing the most ubiquitous payment methods for your vertical in space, not necessarily plastering your wall with every this banner under the sun, and then integrating them into your checkout experience. Not to mention the impact it would bring about in reporting and reconciliation. So there are challenges there. But really, the challenge is around identifying loyal customers, I would say. It became immensely burdensome in that networks had to create separate PAR values or values the payment account referenced because of the one account to many devices aspect. And that proved disruptive to demographic tracking, targeting, as well as marketing campaigns. So some of the lesser realized concerns, but I would state are still very impactful depending on your vertical, relates to how you manage workflow operations. For instance, the ability to perform a subsequent transaction on behalf of a customer in a live agent environment where the originating transaction was tendered with a digital wallet. It requires several steps to allow that customer agent to send a payment experience to that customer if they wanted to pay with that same payment method. And a lot of that is baked in the security aspect of the wallet. You need the cryptogram, which is a dynamic value. Alternatively, you could essentially just grab a token, a transaction ID, or you're the type of merchant that likes to store your PAN. I mean, you could, and you can easily initiate a transaction in that environment. So there are workflow operations that I would say create challenges, but from a security or an ease of use, in fact, it actually amplifies.
So at the merchant level, there are some clear opportunities for loyalty and relationship development. I think merchants come to see that value. Does the consumer side also see the same value? And what I'm trying to get at here is you go to a merchant that you've never interacted before. That merchant is well equipped with wallet-based identification that says, hey, we want a deeper relationship with this customer. Yeah. But I'm from out of town and I will never go to this coffee shop again. And yet what I receive for the remainder of my time on this earth are birthday offers, new product launch notifications, et cetera. Is there a sense in which this new power might have a opposite effect of potentially driving folks away? And I'm thinking about it, it's a relationship, right? So if you start talking about a wedding on the first date, you can actually scare people away rather than inviting them to a deeper relationship. So how about that from a merchant perspective, being careful about taking advantage of the opportunities that are here without spooking folks in a way that from a reputational perspective could actually be dangerous?
Yeah. Now, if you're talking about more the aspect of the tracking, the ability to capture the data and market more targetedly. I can see it on both sides. Personally, I do think that there's an opportunity from both sides to see it as beneficial or worrisome or concerning. And really, the benefit is based in I'm going to target you or I'm going to reach out to you in a more prescriptive manner, as opposed to just receiving spam mail after junk mail after non-relatable content. So there's an upside to it indeed. However, there's also the concern around sensitivity of information and tracking and the privacy that goes along with that. And yeah, there's a lot more information that can be captured from a digital wallet payload than maybe the requirements in a form field that I have to key enter. And so, you know, as long as you're okay with couponing and loyalty, or really identifying how best you want to relationally connect with these businesses, yeah, there's a definite concern. Now, from a security angle, I would say that the digital wallet experience should really set consumers at ease. Not to say that there aren't ways to fraudulently use someone else's credentials, but security framework, without getting too geeky on the cryptography, is very solid. The provisioning process alerts consumer banks and the associated networks to the wallet and the payment credential that's being married. And so ultimately, what you're obtaining in your application or this mobile app is just a surrogate value that can be used by way of device holder in any way. And there's an authentication, as I was alluding to previously, that ensures that you're the person that actually owns that device and is tendering for payment, whether it's biometric, iris, facial, voice, or some passcode or PIN code. The security aspect, as opposed to handling cash that you can lose and has no ownership to you truly, or someone stealing your credit card, even your chip card, and then going to use it. The security framework around that is more baked in, at least for the digital aspect, the card, is really baked in the liability, not necessarily the security. And so you tailor security as well as liability with a digital wallet. And I mean, you have a recipe for success on both sides. Again, the merchant side as well as the consumer side. And quite honestly, I'd even extend that to the banking side.
The consumer side on security is interesting. That war, in some sense, does seem to be over. The stories that consumers tell about concern around security as it relates to wallet transactions or device-based transactions aren't about the device itself being compromised. Mm-hmm. It's these very edge cases. I'm sure you've seen these stories recently about folks being watched in public scenarios to determine their PIN so that their phone could then be stolen and then hacked. So now we're talking about something that requires an extraordinary amount of effort as compared to, oh, I left my wallet behind and a card is available to be used. And there's much less protection there. I think even on the consumer side, folks would recognize that. To the extent that there is aversion to wallet use, it goes much deeper than security concerns and kind of gets into more of a privacy, who's watching, I want to be off the grid kind of concern. But that fades over time. Your point about the generational shift, if that seems to be on a clear ramp.
You're exactly right. It really boils down to understanding the effectiveness of security measures and choosing the selection based on your own risk appetite. But education is also key.
And I wish they had taught me about this when I was in school, right?
Oh, yes. Indeed, yeah.
Devani, as a payments platform, how is CSG Forte changing or building solutions as the numbers trend towards digital payments?
Yeah, I do see CSG Forte being very purposeful about what options we explore, support, and ultimately market. Listening is really more than just a skill. I attribute it to a guiding truth. It determines stagnation or growth. We have a well-understood target market, and the solutions we bring need to meet the demands of our vertical focus. But those demands are really only truly known if you listen to your base and your prospects. Much of our clients fall within the SMB space, and for them, there's no appetite to develop huge amounts of code and logic supporting the request and decryption of wallet payloads for, mind you, each wallet scheme, right, that they'd like to support. So rather, our focus is on solutions that enable frictionless integration and deployments that aid in enhancing the checkout experience for both the customer and merchants. But not to end there, but also layer in alternative methods such as buy now, pay later services, which extend payment acceptance to their customer base, helping with the reduction of cart abandonment. So really, with an ever-present knowledge of cashless societies becoming the norm, especially with, like I said, the impending de-dollarization that is the buzz right now, we'll continue to assess the industry and the needs of our clients. And with that, we'll fold in whatever the next trend is with the task of really making adoption easy.
One of the things we see about SMB market segment is that those merchants, particularly if they are single location merchants, are very price sensitive to the cost of transactions. What can you say about development along those lines? That manifests in a number of ways direct to consumer. Sometimes it's a sign that says we don't take American Express because it has a higher fee associated with it. But sometimes it might be a subtle nudge towards cash because of the perceived additional cost, or the fact that the costs of cash handling aren't really bundled into the understanding that that merchant brings to the table. What do you see happening there in terms of businesses coming to understand the total cost of an overall payment strategy?
Yeah, access to information is key and has changed the landscape, quite honestly. Merchants are very sensitive, especially in the SMB space, to cost. They typically operate lean. They don't have as many departments to really understand all the nuts and bolts, the various vendor relationships that they need to manage. So really, the focus that we bring is in typically bundling pricing so that they have an understood. It's sort of like subscription-based pricing. When you sign up for a service, you know exactly what you're going to pay, regardless of anything else. Now, the idea behind certain card brands or certain payment vehicles being costlier than others or cheaper than others is a matter of management and understanding your target market, understanding your vertical. What's common in your vertical? Are you more B2B? Are you going to see more business or purchase cars? Maybe you should identify things like level 2 or level 3. Are you in the space of large dollar transactions where you have hundreds of thousands of dollars per transaction? And so positioning ACH might be more beneficial to your bottom line. That's really the focus that I bring to our organization as a solution engineer. I try to help them not only communicate with our platform and help them understand how best to leverage the features and functionalities of our platform, but also providing them guidance and best practices based off of how they're actually doing business. Because again, this isn't their space. Payments isn't their space. It's taken me 15 plus years to really be as comfortable as I am today. And they're not going to do that, right? Your focus might be on barbering, or your focus might be on home services, or your focus might be on any, name the vertical. And so you might have background in payments or some knowledge of it, but you don't know the nuances, and it's constantly evolving. So really the focus is partnering with an organization that can advise you based off of how you intend to grow. And so that's probably the best path to take in identifying how best to navigate the concerns of cost, especially as you're talking about complex solutions that require research, require human resources, require probably a shift in priorities for your roadmap, all to meet and to garner what the outcome is, ultimately sales. And so if the focus is sales, but you have a partner that's helping you to bridge that knowledge gap, then again, you're poised for success.
I know we just in this discussion talked about the emergence and growth of digital wallets, but my own background is in emerging payments and emerging technology. What do you think is next? What do you think you're going to help your target clients deal with? They just added all of the services we talked about, but what else is happening here that consumers might bring to the table?
I will say that I probably have a bit of egg on my face if you were to ask me this question 3 years ago, but I will state that crypto is probably the next and up and coming. And we're really seeing it evolve outside of the asset that it sort of began as and truly turning into a currency tool. And so as we're seeing its use in other regions where you have a limited banking infrastructure, it's really catching on in those regions. And just as EMV took forever to evolve and make its way around the globe, I think that we'll see the same with cryptocurrency really becoming more embedded in our financial culture. Maybe not to the tune of card and cash in its short time, but it's definitely going to be one that, as you have organizations that have global reach, will have the need to explore those vehicles more regularly.
If wallets, if anything, it's the change can take longer than, say, wallet producers might like us to think. And it's not happening until it is.
That's so right.
It's kind of how it is.
What's the next seismic event that's going to cause everyone to rattle and change their buying behavior?
Well, if you can predict that, then we'll gladly have you back.
Indeed. Thank you.
Thank you both so much again for joining us. So much great insight was shared, and I can't wait to see how the digital wallet landscape continues to unfold.